Hello, and welcome to Bible 365 with me, Hugh Hattrick. I do hope you're well and having a wonderful day, and you join us on day 332 of the programme. And we're going to be reading from Ezekiel, the whole of chapter 40, and then into the New Testament to 1 Peter, the whole of chapter 5. And if it's your first time with us, or if you've been with us for a long time, it's a very warm welcome. It's good to see you. I hope you're having a really good walk with the Lord, and may God bless you. And if it's the first time as well, make sure you start from day one rather than day 332, because then there'll always be a podcast or a video ready for you. Let's get started with the Word of God. And I'll quickly present my screen here so that you can see exactly what I'm reading. It's from the New Testament. It's the NIV, the New International Version. Share that there, and we'll go into Ezekiel chapter 40. The temple area restored. In the 25th year of our exile, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th of the month, in the 14th year after the fall of the city, on that very day, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he took me there. In visions of God, he took me to the land of Israel and set me on a very high mountain, on whose south side were some buildings that looked like a city. He took me there, and I saw a man whose appearance was like bronze. He was standing in the gateway with a linen cord and a measuring rod in his hand. The man said to me, "Son of man, look carefully and listen closely, and pay attention to everything I am going to show you, for that is why you have been brought here. Tell the people of Israel everything you see." The east gate to the outer court. I saw a wall completely surrounding the temple area. The length of the measuring rod in the man's hand was 6 long cubits, each of which was a cubit and a handbreadth. He measured the wall. It was 1 measuring rod thick and 1 rod high. Then he went to the east gate. He climbed its steps and measured the threshold of the gate. It was 1 rod deep. The alcoves for the guards were on 1 rod long and 1 rod wide. And the projecting walls between the alcoves were 5 cubits thick. And the threshold of the gate next to the portico facing the temple was 1 rod deep. Then he measured the portico of the gateway. It was 8 cubits deep, and its jambs were 2 cubits thick. The portico of the gateway faced the temple. Inside the east gate were 3 alcoves on each side. The 3 had the same measurements, and the faces of the projecting walls on each side had the same measurements. Then he measured the width of the entrance of the gateway. It was 10 cubits, and its length was 13 cubits. In front of each alcove was a wall 1 cubit high, and the alcoves were 6 cubits square. Then he measured the gateway from the top of the rear wall of one alcove to the top of the opposite one. The distance was 25 cubits. From one parapet opening to the opposite one, he measured along the faces of the projecting walls all around the inside of the gateway, 60 cubits. The measurement was up to the portico, facing the courtyard. The distance from the entrance of the gateway to the far end of its portico was 50 cubits. The alcoves and the projecting walls inside the gateway were surmounted by narrow parapet openings all around, as was the portico. The openings all around faced inward. The faces of the projecting walls were decorated with palm trees. The outer court. Then he brought me into the outer court. There I saw some rooms and a pavement that had been constructed all around the court. There were 30 rooms along the pavement that abutted the sides of the gateways and was as wide as they were long. This was the lower pavement. Then he measured the distance from the inside of the lower gateway to the outside of the inner court. It was 100 cubits on the east side as well as on the north. The north gate. Then he measured the length and the width of the north gate leading into the outer court. Its alcoves, 3 on each side, its projecting walls and its portico had the same measurements as those of the first gateway. It was 50 cubits long and 25 cubits wide. Its openings, its portico, and its palm tree decorations had the same measurements as those of the gate facing east. 7 steps led up to it, with its portico opposite them. There was a gate to the inner court facing the north gate, just as there was on the east. He measured from one gate to the opposite one. It was 100 cubits. The south gate. Then he led me to the south side, and I saw the south gate. He measured its jambs and its portico, and they had the same measurements as the others. The gateway and its portico had narrow openings all around, like the openings of the others. It was 50 cubits long and 25 cubits wide. Seven steps led up to it, with its portico opposite them. It had palm tree decorations on the faces of the projecting walls on each side. The inner court also had a gate facing south, and he measured from this gate to the outer gate on the south side. It was 100 cubits. The gates to the inner court. Then he brought me into the inner court through the south gate, and he measured the south gate. It had the same measurements as the others. Its alcoves, its projecting walls, and its portico had the same measurements as the others. The gateway and its portico had openings all around. It was 50 cubits long and 25 cubits wide. The porticos of the gateways around the inner court were 25 cubits wide and 5 cubits deep. Its portico faced the outer court. Palm trees decorated its jambs. 8 steps led up to it. Then he brought me to the inner court on the east side, and he measured the gateway. It had the same measurements as the others. Its alcoves, its projecting walls, and its portico had the same measurements as the others. The gateway and its portico had openings all around. It was 50 cubits long and 25 cubits wide. Its portico faced the outer court. Palm trees decorated the jambs on either side, and 8 steps led up to it. Then he brought me to the north gate and measured it. It had the same measurements as the others, as did its alcoves, its projecting walls and its portico, and it had openings all around. It was 50 cubits long and 25 cubits wide. Its portico faced the outer court, palm trees decorated the jambs on either side, and 8 steps led up to it. The rooms for preparing sacrifices. A room with a doorway was by the portico in each of the inner gateways, where the burnt offerings were washed. In the portico of the gateway were 2 tables on each side, on which the burnt offerings, sin offerings, and guilt offerings were slaughtered. By the outside wall of the portico of the gateway, near the steps at the entrance of the north gateway, were 2 tables, and on the other side of the steps were 2 tables. So there were 4 tables on one side of the gateway and 4 on the other. 8 tables in all, on which the sacrifices were slaughtered. There were also 4 tables of dressed stone for the burnt offerings, each 1.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1 cubit high. On them were placed the utensils for slaughtering the burnt offerings and the other sacrifices, and double-pronged hooks, each 1 handbreadth long, were attached to the wall all around. The tables were for the flesh of the offerings. The rooms for the priests. Outside the inner gate, within the inner court, were 2 rooms, one at the side of the north gate and facing south, and another at the side of the south gate and facing north. He said to me, "The room facing south is for the priests who guard the temple, and the room facing north is for the priests who guard the altar. These are the sons of Zadok, who are the only Levites who may draw near to the Lord to minister before him." Then he measured the court. It was a square, 100 cubits long and 100 cubits wide, and the altar was in front of the temple. The new temple. He brought me to the portico of the temple and measured the jambs of the portico. They were 5 cubits wide on either side. The width of the entrance was 14 cubits, and its projecting walls were 3 cubits wide on either side. The portico was 20 cubits wide and 12 cubits from front to back. It was reached by a flight of stairs, and there were pillars on each side of the jambs. And now we'll go to the New Testament, to 1 Peter. And it's chapter 5. To the elders and the flock. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and as a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherds appear, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to the elders, all of you. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and sober and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to do his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power for ever and ever. Amen. Final greetings. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this time together. Lord, to hear your word. Lord, to be convicted, but also to be encouraged. Lord, we know where we have gone wrong. Lord, and we repent of our sin. And we ask, Lord, that you would forgive us, Lord, of our sins that we have committed. Lord, we truly repent. We are truly sorry for what we have done. Lord, we give everything that we are to you. We place our heart, our minds, our souls, everything that we are, we give over to you, Lord Jesus, and ask that you would be in our heart to rule over us. Lord, to help us take those steps of real faith in you. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be alive and fired among us, Lord, that it would be so strong in us that people would see that you are Lord because of the actions and the way that we live. We thank you, Jesus, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. Well, thank you very much for joining with me today on day 332 of Bible 365. I hope you have a wonderful day. It's coming around Christmas time. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas and New Year. May God bless you. And thanks so much for supporting the channel. It's great to see it grow. And please feel free to leave a like or comments or prayer requests. I'll happily include them in the prayers, either quietly or privately, or if you want me to put them at the end of the programme, I'm happy to do that as well. But take care, everyone. May God bless you. And I'll see you very soon. Bye just now.